The main purpose of this video is not to criticize anyone, but to caution learners who listen to popular recitations on the internet and try to imitate them. So focus on the concept rather than the names. And so, to maximize the benefit from this lesson, I won't be only commenting on recitations and giving my opinion, but I'll also try to give you the tools through which you can tell if there is something wrong in a recitation to know if you can learn from it and imitate it or not. So let's get started. When it comes to tajweed, there are a number of concepts related to performance that scholars have listed and warned us about. We'll tackle them one by one and see examples on each one. Let's start with number one, at-tar'id, and it comes from the word ra'ada, which is vibrating like sound that accompanies the med or any sort of elongation in the recitation, and its purpose is evoking emotions of listeners. This is a clear example showing what it is. So now you might be thinking, what is wrong with this? Well, basically, this is controlling the med of the letter using the jaw or the movement of the lips to generate that sound, while the actual sound of med should come from the throat without being affected by any other articulators. This is what we call tar'id, and that is something that you should not imitate or have in your recitation, because then you're pronouncing letters in an improper way and affecting the produced sound by different articulators that you should not be using. Here it is one more time from a different part of the ayah. And here I gotta say that this is different from what is called tarjia, which has been reported on the recitation of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So what is tarjia? Well, it is basically controlling the sound or the tone of med using your throat, which is where the sound of med is generated. It sounds like this. So as you heard, the changes of the sound or the tone of med were very moderate and without any exaggeration, and they sounded beautiful. Naturally, moderation is key, and it is an important aspect of any recitation. So, no exaggeration. Let's move to number two, at-tamṭīṭ. And the word tamṭīṭ comes from maṭṭa, which is overextension or over-elongation of sounds. This concerns med or ghunna, or basically any sort of med that is elongated. And this bad practice entails that you would overextend the med more than you should, like what we hear in this recitation. So as you heard, the ghunna of al-insan was extended tremendously more than it should, while it is just a case of ikhfa, which should be extended moderately and say al-insan. This is unfortunately a common practice by many reciters. Here's another example.
فَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ
And in this example, we see over elongation of temporary mend, which should be maximum 6 counts. But what we got here was something in the area of 11 or 12 counts. This cannot be accepted, and you should not imitate this performance. Next is what we call tatrib. Some also call it tarqis, and it is essentially singing the ayat. And to be more precise, the reciter would then over-exaggerate the stresses in word and move around as he moves away from each stress. If you're not sure what it looks and sounds like, here is an example. So this is what we mean with exaggeration when reciting the Quran. This is essentially singing, no regard to the meaning of the ayat or contemplating what is being said. Secondly, reciting the Quran in duets like this is what singers do. It is wrong and must not be done. Reciting together for the purpose of learning is a different matter, and it is certainly fine. But this is not it. Next is tatunin. And this is one of the things that the scholars have not fully agreed on its definition. Some define tatunin as changing the tone of the ghunnah, whether in ikhfa or idgham. So it sounds like this. Inna lil muttaqina mafaza. So it is that change of tone when I was applying the ghunnah. Others define tatneen as pressing on the noon or meem at the end of words, like this. Nasta'een ar-Rahim. So, which is it? I personally go with the second opinion, since the first performance doesn't go against the proper articulation point or the proper technique of the sound. It is a correct ghunnah. But the second one is adding more nasal sound than you should. So it is a mistake, and that's what I think tatunin is referring to. Regardless, your performance of ghunnah must not be exaggerated. Finally, some reciters just make mistakes when they are applying the tajweed rule or mistakes in reciting or reading the ayat themselves, like in this recitation. So here, imra'atan tamlikuhum. There was supposed to be ikhfa with ghunnah, but it was completely dropped and it was just not done. And in this example, so as you heard, the word tis'a was pronounced as tis'u. And this is of course a mistake that you cannot make or imitate. Here is another example. وَاسْأَلْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا. So as you can clearly hear, there is a word missing, which cannot happen of course. This recitation was removed from the official channel as far as I know, but it is still available on YouTube. So, what is the takeaway here? First, everyone makes mistakes. That is a fact. Everyone. So, if you notice a mistake that a reciter made, it doesn't mean that we should cancel this reciter or stop listening or something like that. That is not the purpose of this lesson. But since in today's world, anyone can upload anything on the internet, one should really have the minimum knowledge that enables you to know what to listen to and imitate and what not to, especially if you're learning the Quran by listening and imitating beautiful recitations. So be careful and mindful, but not obsessed or paranoid with finding the tiniest mistakes. There is a good balance that you have to find. It is true that I cannot recommend Sheikh Yasir's recitations to someone trying to learn the Quran because this is his style. Although to be fair, in recent recitations, he has kind of abandoned this habit. But it would still be difficult for beginners to discern and know what to imitate and what not to. But if you can, then imitate the good and skip the less good. Second, don't take the number of followers or views as a guarantee for the correctness of a recitation. In fact, the reason for making this video, besides the several requests I got for it, is that the videos I used here have tens of millions of views combined. So if it affected only 1% of those who listened to them, that's 100,000 people. And such videos actually contain many of the types of mistakes that I highlighted today, but I couldn't include all of them for copywriting issues. So, as learners, who should we listen to? There are, of course, reciters who have near-perfect recitations, which you can listen to with the purpose of learning, because their recitations have been reviewed by so many people, and they are the ones that I always recommend to learners, like Sheikh Al-Husari, Sheikh Abd al-Basit, and Sheikh Al-Minshawi. It is hard not to recommend these names because of how accurate their recitations are, free from exaggeration, and they are very beautiful to listen to. As for the contemporary reciters, I recommend Sheikh Ahmad al-Mi'sarawi and Sheikh Abd al-Rashid al-Sufi. I can also recommend Sheikh al-Ifasi. He is very precise as well, alhamdulillah, but very few recitations, probably the older ones, that you have to be mindful of. There are, of course, hundreds of good reciters, but I included the ones that I know and which I think can help you elevate your skills, inshallah. If you know a good reciter that I didn't mention and you think is worth mentioning, please list them in the comments for others to learn about them, inshallah.
Thanks for watching. If you want to start reading and understanding the Quran in Arabic, then you should start your journey right here. And don't forget to check out my latest book, which goes perfectly with this free course. I'll leave the links for all of them in the description, so check them out. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.